gather together today for our opening prayer. We're glad to have the Reverend James Beggs with us, Deputy Moderator of the Presbytery of our church. And Mr. Beggs is going to come now, please, and lead us to the throne of grace in a word of prayer. Let's all unite our hearts together. Let's pray with our brother, all of us seeking the Lord, that he will visit us tonight and bless us here in this great service. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Our eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly seek thy face in prayer this evening, and with confidence and faith draw near to the throne of grace, pleading the Saviour's worthy and precious name. We enter thy courts with praise. We come before thy presence with singing. And Lord, we come acknowledging thy great goodness and thy great mercy upon each one of us. We look back tonight with gratitude and with thanksgiving and remember all that the Lord has wrought for us and all that God in mercy has bestowed upon us. We thank thee above all for the gift of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him who loved us, who gave himself for us. We thank thee tonight for the finished work of the cross and for the value of the Savior's precious blood, for the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And as we approach thee now and come with due reverence and godly fear before thee, we ask our God that thou wilt afresh cleanse and sanctify our hearts and minds by the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We thank thee, our God, tonight for all that thou hast been to us as a denomination. And Lord, on this 40th anniversary of our missionary council, we particularly remember all that God has done in relation to the missionary cause. We thank thee for these past 40 years of faithful service, for all who were concerned over the years in this labor of love for Christ, and for all that God, in his mercy and grace, permitted each one to do. And tonight we draw nigh and we raise our Ebenezer to the Lord and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We thank thee for our missionaries tonight. Cross the face of the earth, some in difficult places, and we commend them now to God and to his tender grace, praying that thy blessing may attend their labors, that thou wilt extend thy kingdom and gather in thine elect and show thyself strong on behalf of them that fear thee. We thank thee, our Father, tonight for those that are gathered here in thanksgiving and worship before thee. Come and fill this house with the glory of thy presence and thy power. Shut us in from all the siren calls of earth. Hush down the clamor of our minds and hearts. And grant that the Lord Jesus Christ, in all his majesty and glory, might indeed be presence himself, and that we might realize his presence here. We pray for all who will participate in this meeting. Remember the office bearers of the Missionary Council. We thank thee for our brother George and for all who, like him, have served over the years. We pray that you'll bless him tonight and grant that as he leads this meeting, the hand of God will rest upon him. And remember, too, those who will participate and contribute in this meeting. We ask that their ministry may be owned and blessed of God, that they'll feel his enablement, the power of thy Spirit resting upon them, that our worship might be blessed and owned of God, and that tonight heaven may indeed come down, our souls to greet, and glory crown the mercy seat. So continue with us, accept our thanks, and look in mercy upon us here, and we shall ascribe to thee the praise and the glory. For we ask it in the Saviour's worthy and precious name. Amen. Just before I return to my seat, I have a little duty to do on behalf of our moderator. We're very sorry that Dr. Paisley is unable to be with us here tonight, but he has sent a message to the service, to the meeting here, and to the members of the Missionary Council, and I would like to read that to you just at this stage. Brethren and sisters in Christ, tonight I was to attend the 40th anniversary celebrations of my friend Dr. Brian Green. This, alas, has had to be cancelled due to Brian's illness. But at the time when the Missionary Council invited me to address you, this was not the case. Therefore, I had to refuse your kind invitation. I wish you all God's richest blessing as you celebrate these 40 years of God's faithfulness and His blessing on the work to which you have put your hands. To all who have served the Missionary Council and those who are now serving it, I say a hearty thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The missionary work of any church, whether it be home missions or foreign missions, measures the strength of the passion in that church for the Savior and reciprocates through the believer's life and work the source of all our strength. We love Him because He first loved us. No dedicated Christian can stand aside and be complacent while a world of sinners speeds to the darkness of everlasting night. We cannot leave any souls lost and alone. We want them over there. All five continents of our world stretch forth their compelling hands, and from each we see the man who is their spokesman, the man of Europe, the man of Africa, the man of Asia, the man of Australia, the man of America, calling incessantly to us, come over and help us. Like Paul, who saw the man of Macedonia and heard his plea, we assuredly gather that the Lord has called us to help send the gospel to them. In the Bible, 40 years marks the end of probation. This being so, our church needs to take a quantum leap from apprenticeship in probation to a master builder in promotion. May the Lord help us to heed the words of that great missionary, pioneer, William Carey. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. The true disciple has Paul's theme as his, Ephesians 3:8. Paul's sacrifice, Colossians 1:24. The Lord's tenderness, Hosea 2:19. The disciple's patience, Matthew 4:19. The disciple's companion, Acts 5:32. The disciple's rest, Matthew 11:28, 29. And the disciple's vision, Micah 4:1. The Old Testament prophet received the promise, I will assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that was driven out, and her that was afflicted. Micah 4:6. Thank God our ifs and buts and fears and indecision will be conquered, and all the exiles driven out will return, and finally our afflictions will be gone forever. The day of grief will end, and the morning of an ever-ending day will dawn. It is towards that day we should each set our face. Work, for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, work, for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er. Ever yours to serve in the gospel, Ian R.K. Paisley. And I'm sure that we appreciate those words from our moderator. We're sorry he can't be with us, but we certainly endorse all that he has said. And we do say a big thank you to all the members and office bearers of the Missionary Council who have served the Lord so well over these 40 years in the missionary outreach of our church. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mr. Beggs. At this point, our own youth choir in the church here are going to sing. That has been requested by Brother George McConnell, that our young people would take part in this way two times tonight, now and then toward the very end of the meeting. So they're going to come right now, please, and bring that first message and song. And it is number 54 in your books if you want to follow on the words, Great God of Wonders. Please come immediately, young people, and sing for us.
Thank you.
young people for singing for us, and we look forward to hearing from them later on. Well, this juncture brings to an end my part in this meeting, I'm thankful to say. I'm now about to hand over to Mr. George McConnell, Chairman of the Missionary Council. I wish to welcome him to the pulpit, and I trust the Lord will bless him as he now comes to chair the rest of the meeting, introduce all the various items, and we do pray indeed that God's hand will be upon him tonight. Welcome, George, in the Lord's great name.
Could I say a word of thank you to the choir for singing for us at such short notice? And could I say a word of welcome to all who have come? We're delighted to see you all. I see the fathers of the church, and I see the young men and women of the church, and some of the children of the church, and we're delighted that there's such a broad representation from right across our province. And we're delighted to see so many of our ministers, former members of the council, and we welcome you sincerely in the Lord's name. I was also especially delighted to hear that message from Dr. Paisley. One of the founder members said recently that when they went to try and sell the idea of forming a missionary council in 1962 to Dr. Paisley, that he said he received it with great enthusiasm. They said he wasn't hard to persuade, for he had a heart for missionary work, and he certainly hasn't lost that zeal. And we pray that the Lord will keep us all like that if we reach those years. I'm especially delighted to see so many of the youth of our church here. You know, this is our day and generation to serve the Lord. We'll not get another chance. The Lord has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. The future of this denomination, when the old men and women die off, is in the hands of the youth under the Lord. And we look to the youth for the Lord to raise them up. And from the ranks and from the meeting here tonight, even many to be sent forth to serve him, whether at home or across the world. I see the Reverend Ron Johnson here. He's the secretary of the Mission Board. 1966, or 69, I remember him and his wife. And sure, he was only a boy and she was only a young lady at that time, heading out on the aeroplane to America to study and to do missionary work for some years, and then the Lord called them back. And we pray that the Lord will move on the hearts of many of our young people, and we'll see them raised up to take the places of those who come to the age of retirement. Now, I'm especially delighted tonight when I was thinking about this meeting, who should we have? And I thought that we should have Mrs. Kearns with us back. I would have to say that under God, I think there's no couple, no minister and his wife in the church have had more influence upon my life as regards the missionary endeavour of the church than Dr. and Mrs. Kearns had. And for years, some of us have been going to the missionary weekend in Ballymoney. And if you've never took time to go there in January, you should, because I think every year it gets better. But many, many years ago, I started to go up there when I first joined the Missionary Council, and I'm now 35 years in it. And Dr. Kearns and his wife were always enthusiastic for the missionary work. And I think that if you talk to many of our missionaries, it was through their influence and his influence too, that they were called into either ministry or the missionary work. When I was asked to go as a representative along with the late Stanley Cunningham to the Missionary Council from our church, Mrs. Kearns, of course, took us under her wing. She was a more senior member of the council at that time, and she looked after us and welcomed us. And then when they needed a chairman and there was nobody else available, she got me roped into the job, and she kept me right for many years until the Lord called her and her husband to the America. And I learnt many things from her. We're delighted tonight that she's here, and she's here in good health. And may the Lord spare both her and her husband for many years. Mrs. Gerns, you're very welcome.
I would like to thank the choir as well tonight for singing that hymn. It's one of my favourites, and I stand here tonight and I can truly say, who is a pardoning God like thee, or who has grace so rich and free? And I wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for the grace of God in saving me. And I thank him tonight that as a young child, under the influence of godly parents, he brought me to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I give him all the honour and all the glory for what he has done in me and for me. And I would raise my testimony tonight to the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad that he saved me while I was still very young. And then I thank the Lord tonight as well, as a young teenager, that he led me into the Free Presbyterian Church. And it was there that I started to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was there that the Lord gave me an interest in missionary work and gave me a burden for missionaries and to see his kingdom advanced and extended. When George emailed me about coming to the meeting, I thought I was just coming as a guest to enjoy the service. And so at first I wasn't too happy about coming because I was going to have to fly by myself, and I don't like flying at the best of times. And after September 11, I'm even more reluctant to fly. But my husband kept saying, I think you should go. So finally I said, okay, so I booked the ticket and I emailed George and told him when I was coming, and he said, that's very good, everything's working out well, and you'll say a wee word about the early deaths. And I said to my husband, see, he waited till I had the ticket before he said that. I am not a public speaker, believe me, and before I'm through, you will agree with me. But anyway, here I am tonight. And for several days after I discovered that I was supposed to be saying something, I was in a panic. You know, I couldn't remember the early deaths. 40 years is a long time to remember, especially when you're 40 years older looking back. And so I kept saying to my husband, I can't even remember the old days. What did happen? And I was going on like this for days, and so I think he got tired of hearing me complaining, and so he sat me down one day in the living room and he said, look, I'll ask you some questions and you answer them in your mind, and it'll maybe focus your mind on what you could say. And I said, well, okay. He said, first of all, what does it feel like to be the senior citizen of the Missionary Council? And I said, well, that's not a very good question to start with. And then I remember Dr. Paisley, I don't know if he still says it or not, but I remember when he used to be saying how long he had been preaching for, he would always say, I know I only look 25. So I said to my husband, I wish I had Dr. Paisley's mirror to look into. But unfortunately, I have my own mirror, and I know that it's 40 years ago when I came to the Missionary Council. When the Missionary Council, just before it was formed, I don't think anyone other than the girl who had the vision for the Missionary Council realized just what the Lord had in store for the Free Presbyterian Church. Valerie Shaw was a member of Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. She was a missionary to the Jews. And Valerie had a great burden for young people, for missionary work. And so she felt that if we could just consolidate the work, bring the churches together into some sort of a council, that way we could go back to our churches, foster some interest in the churches, and also raise finances to help the work. And as George just said, she went to her minister, Dr. Paisley, and spoke to him, told him of her burden, and Dr. Paisley was always interested in missionary work. In fact, as a young man, he had thought at one time of going to the mission field. So he was very positive about the whole thing, and he took it to the presbytery, and so it was decided to have a missionary council. The missionary council was to be made up of two representatives from each congregation. I'm telling you all this and you probably know it, but people said to me, there are new people in the church that maybe don't know these things. So anyway, two representatives from each congregation, and they were to come once a month and meet. They were to listen to reports from missionaries and students and have a time of prayer, and then go back to their churches and seek to foster a missionary prayer meeting, missionary interest, get young people interested in missionary work, and also raise finances by having a missionary offering once a month. And so that's the sort of task that we set about. I always enjoyed going to the missionary council meetings. It was a great time of fellowship. When the missionary council started at first, I think my husband and I counted there were just 11 churches that were represented in the missionary council in those days. And so we would meet, we would have a time of prayer always, and then we would hear the news, and then we would have refreshments. In fact, when I look out here tonight, I see some of those early representatives, and I don't know why they are not here in my place tonight. I see Mrs. Harton here. She was the first treasurer of the missionary council, as Elizabeth McIlreavy from Coleraine. And Elizabeth Maneri, who is now, she was Elizabeth Macaulay, she was her assistant. And so these people were in at the very beginning as well, as I was, but I'm in the hot seat tonight. However, the Lord really blessed and expanded the work. And I loved the times of prayer that we had and the times of fellowship when you would get to meet different people from the congregations. And of course, we also, while we had serious business, we also sometimes had a lighter side to the meetings. I remember one meeting in particular, and George and I were sitting up at the front, and two of the representatives, I won't tell you who they were, but anyway, they were late coming in, two men. And they came walking up, there was a center aisle in the church, and I can see it to this day. They were walking up the center aisle, and George just looked at them, and if you know George, he gets that wee twinkle in his eye, you know, and he said to one of the men, "Well, brother, it wasn't combing your hair kept you late." Because he hadn't a hair on his head. And then another night, we had to travel quite a distance going around all the churches, and we were in Armagh. And we carpooled, as they say in America, with another couple. And this fella decided he was going to drive us this night. So we went to Armagh and we set off home. And it took us 3.5 hours to get from Armagh to Ballymoney. And he drove the wrong way up one-way streets. He went the wrong way round roundabouts. He drove at 25 miles an hour. So by the time we got home at 2 o'clock, my husband, he was beginning to get a bit worried. He thought we'd had an accident or something. So we did have our lighter moments as well as the more serious times. One of the questions that Alan asked me was, what do you consider the greatest achievements of the Missionary Council? And I think George has already mentioned one of them was the start of the missionary weekend in what was Cabra Free Presbyterian Church. And the first meeting, I think we had 65 there on the Friday evening. And then on the Saturday, we had a half day of prayer for the Missionary Council representatives, then the meeting at night, and then the Sunday services. And that weekend has grown as the years went by, and the church in Ballymoney now is filled at that missionary weekend. And I think that was a great achievement, not only for the church in Ballymoney, but also for the missionary council. And then the missionary council supported two enterprises of the young people's movement when it started, and one of those was the magazine Truth for Youth, which is still going today. Or as we like to talk in America, when Mr. Greer was there, he used to talk about Truth for Youth. And they, the Americans, of course, thought that was, to use their expression, kind of cute. So they did Let the Bible, then they supported Let the Bible Speak. And you all know Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry goes out over many areas that we cannot get to all over the world, and has been used greatly in America in starting many of the churches there. And then, of course, it has supported many young people, many missionaries, student ministers, missionary students. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson are here tonight, and they were reminding me of how the Missionary Council has supported them when they were with New Tribes Mission. Bill Woods and Mrs. Johnson was telling me tonight on the way here that they just did a television program in Brazil on Bill Woods, and they said on that secular television station that he has headed up the most successful leprosy program in the world. And he is one of our missionaries, and if we can be proud, I think we can be thankful to the Lord for Bill Woods and for the part even that we played in supporting him and keeping him on the field. The first student we ever supported was Victor Maxwell, who went out to Brazil as a missionary and served the Lord there. Margaret Armstrong, who was the means of starting the work in Kenya. And the Lord has blessed them. When you think of just this little handful that I have mentioned and the souls that they have reached and the souls that they will meet in heaven, I think that it has been a great achievement by the Missionary Council. Alan also asked me, what are your hopes for the future of the Missionary Council? And I thought about it. And the verse that came to my mind was Psalm 90 and verses 16 and 17. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. And I would pray that the Missionary Council will go forward and expand, that more young people will hear the call of God and go forth to missionary work, either at home or abroad, and that we will stand true to what we were started for. I feel very humbled tonight to be standing here and have had a small part to play in the work of the Missionary Council. The work of the Council, to a large extent, has rested upon our brother George McConnell, and I would like to pay a personal tribute to George tonight for his faithfulness, for his influence, for how unruffled he stayed when I was, I don't know what he's like now, but when I was on the council, if there was any sort of a situation arose, George was always kept very calm, very low key, and he guided the council expertly. And he not only took an interest in the work here, but when we moved to America, George took a great interest in the work there, and the Missionary Council has been very kind in supporting many of our students, in fact all of our students in America, as they prepare for the Lord's work. These young men are not able, most of them are not able to work because they have to study full time, and I wish that they could be here tonight to stand up and to thank the Council for the money that they send. I could not tell you how many times they have come to me after they have got their check and they have said, that was exactly the amount we needed to have our car fixed, to pay a doctor's bill or whatever. And they are very, very grateful for everything that the Missionary Council has sent their way and for the small works. On the 24th of March of this year, the little church in Alabama, Trinity, Alabama, was constituted. Myron Mooney was ordained as the minister of that church. He has worked long and hard to get it going and was thrilled that Dr. Paisley was able to be there for the constitution and for his ordination. My husband was there and the Reverend David Brain. Mr. McConnell has visited that church and has been a great encouragement to them, and the Missionary Council has supported Myron as he has sought to establish that work. And they sent this little plaque to the Missionary Council, which I would like to give to Mr. McConnell tonight. And it says, this plaque is presented to the Free Presbyterian Missionary Council, remembering your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. Trinity Free Presbyterian Church, Trinity, Alabama, March 17, 2002.
Well, we appreciate that. plaque, and also Mrs. Kearns for speaking to us. If you want to know what I'm like now, you did ask my wife, but you'd be better not asking her. But we certainly had good times, and we have seen the work go forward over the years. Last year, when the Missionary Council started in 1962, it actually met in the Church in Antrim on the 24th of April 1962. And at the end of that year, they had lifted about £550 to help the various causes. The first chairman was the late Cecil Harvey, and he carried on from 1962 till he resigned in 1966. And then there was R.G. McCauley, I think, originally from this church, from 66 to 69. And then our brother Brian Foreman, who now lives in London, he chaired the council for a year, and then in October 1970 I took over. Our offering last year was almost £140,000. And I was counting up over the years, and we have over the years gathered in about £1,500,000 to send to the various missionary enterprises here, there and yonder across the world. And then of course our mission board has probably brought in about double that in their short history as well. And we want to thank you sincerely for those that the Lord has prospered that can give a lot. We give thanks for those that can give but the widow's mite. We equally give thanks. The Missionary Council, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I will. The Missionary Council is largely, the Anglicans like to speak about the laity and the clergy, but it has largely been carried on by the laity. And we, in my time, we have never had any major disagreement. And we have never been in debt. And that's due to the giving and the faithfulness of the people of God in the pew. When you give your offering to the Missionary Council, it goes to, part of it goes to Australia, to Canada, Cameroon, Germany, India, Kenya, north and south of Ireland, Spain, some to Jamaica, the USA, and to the UK mainland as well. And remember that. You put your pound in, it goes all over the world. And the Lord bless you for it. We have had two treasures in our history. As Mrs. Kern said, Mrs. Harton, who is with us, and her husband, was the first treasure, founded in 1962. And she carried that on for 9 years until 1971. And then there was a young lady by the name of Miss Pearl Wilson. And we elected her in 1971, and then she changed her name to Mrs. Pearl Ross. And she is with us as well tonight. And Pearl is the only foundation member left after 40 years. And she's the only foundation member that's left, that's still serving, I should put it that way. And Pearl has been a blessing to work with, and she's always been very helpful anytime I ring her to look for figures or whatever. And Pearl has been a blessing to work with, and I've worked with her in perfect harmony since the time she was appointed. We're glad tonight to have the Reverend David McElveen with us. He's the chairman of our mission board and has been for over 20 years. Now you might be saying, what's the difference in the Missionary Council and the mission board? Well, if I could put it this way, the mission board is appointed by the presbytery, could I say, to act like a kirk session in our missionary work. And the Missionary Council actually a committee. I think that's just a layman's term way of putting it. We gather a lot of the money, and a lot of our money is transferred every year into the funds of the mission board to keep the missionary work going across the world. We are labourers together. Three members of the missionary council are also members of the mission board. And we're glad to have Mr. McElveen with us. He's taken time off to be with us. I'm delighted that he's here. He's going to make a presentation to Pearl, and then he's going to address us. Mr. McElveen.
I'm very honoured, as indeed Mrs. Kearns has said, to be present with you this evening. And it is my very pleasant duty now to call our sister Pearl to the pulpit, that I might, on behalf of our missionary council, present you just with a small token of their appreciation of what you mean to them, and also of the acknowledgement of the work that you have done. So, Mrs. Ross, if you would come forward, please. I hope you don't blame me for this, but we are delighted, Pearl, to present this little token of the Council's appreciation to you. Your work and your endeavour amongst the people has been much appreciated, and many people have been greatly encouraged by all that you have done, and we say thank you in the Lord's name.
Thank you. Did you want to say something?
Okay, that's fine. Thank you so much indeed. I'd like to acknowledge, first of all, this evening, my indebtedness to Almighty God for the blessing of His great salvation. I think all of us who are present here could never underestimate the joy it is to be a sinner saved by God's grace, and to know that our names are written in the Book of Life. To us that is joy unspeakable, and it is full of glory. And yet the blessings of God's great salvation opens up many doors of opportunity that we might be part of His work. And every day that does go by, I personally acknowledge my thankfulness to the Lord for the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church. I know that God has raised up this church in a day of spiritual declension and of spiritual apostasy. And I am convinced, as I know many of you present are convinced, that it would be a great failure on our part if we did not stress the importance and the value of our past history. And indeed, for that reason, it is good that we have assembled tonight to thank the Lord for the 40 years of missionary endeavour that has come our way through the labours of the Missionary Council. A vision for missionary work is a very wonderful thing to receive. It is a solemn privilege, but it's also a very solemn responsibility. And as custodians of that missionary vision, the Presbytery, the Missionary Council, and the Mission Board have endeavoured to discharge its duties and its obligations with faithfulness to Almighty God. Tonight it is therefore right and proper that we pay tribute to the work of our Missionary Council, a band of men and women whom I do believe the Lord has touched their hearts and played a vital part in maintaining and sustaining our missionary responsibilities. It would be impossible for me to quantify the extent to which this missionary council has been used by the Lord. Mrs. Kearns has given us some little detail of it, but I know that the number of people that have been greatly encouraged and greatly helped in the Lord's work could not really be numbered. My recollection of the Missionary Council goes back quite a number of years, whenever Mrs. Kearns invited me to come and to speak to the Missionary Council in 1969. I was delighted to do so. And some days later, when I called at the home of Mr. Jordan, who was our representative in the Missionary Council, and celebrates his 94th birthday on Sunday week, God willing, Mrs. Kearns had arrived at his home, and had left an envelope, and in that envelope there was £5. Now, it wasn't just the monetary value of that gift, but it was the fact that the Missionary Council were showing by that that they were taking a personal and a practical interest in my life. And I could never, never thank the Missionary Council sufficiently for just that simple little token, which meant so much to me and was a great encouragement to my life at that time. I know that many people could say exactly the same thing, from students training in the college to missionaries on the foreign mission field. Tribute tonight, I believe, must be paid to all who have contributed to the work of the Missionary Council, to the delegates who travel many, many miles during the year to help and to coordinate the work of the missionary endeavour. We do say thank you in our Saviour's name. Your endeavour has been an example to all of us, and I know that many will rise up and will undoubtedly call you blessed. I'd like also to acknowledge how the leadership of the Missionary Council have, with great wisdom given by God, guided the work of the Council. There was that period which I describe as a transitional period, when the Missionary Council moved from an interdenominational support to supporting those students, those graduates from our Whitfield College of the Bible. That was a very big step to take. And I know that God gave much wisdom and much skill and understanding as the council moved from that situation to its present situation of today. I'm grateful too for the wisdom given to our presbytery that even as a church we can, with discernment, give support on a one-off yearly basis to those who are labouring for the Lord outside the Free Presbyterian Church. And I think it is good that we can give encouragement and help to others. But let us never be in any doubt that it is our obligation to stand by those whom God has entrusted us with. Our missionaries do depend upon the support that does come from the Free Presbyterian Church in Northern Ireland. And that is why I would encourage everyone to be strengthened in this responsibility and to remember that we do have an obligation to those that God has called and God has sent forth in his name. Could I just say a special thank you to the secretaries past and present, who again, as we have heard tonight, have played such a vital part in this work. I know also to the chairmen past and present, we also have to express our indebtedness. But I know that no one will be offended if I do particularly pay tribute to our dear brother, Mr. George McConnell. His diligence in this work and his trust and his integrity, gifts that I believe God has graciously given to him, have enabled him not to be disobedient to that heavenly vision. His personal interest and his personal care in the individual missionary is deeply appreciated at home and abroad. And I for one say most sincerely, I trust the Lord will spare our brother George for many years. I say it unashamedly, I don't know what we would do without our brother George. I'm not saying that in a patronizing way. He has labored most faithfully, and we do thank God from the depths of our heart for his chairmanship in the Missionary Council. And to everyone in our denomination who has, by God's grace, lifted up their eyes to the fields that are white and ready to harvest, we say thank you in the Lord's precious name. And could I just say also to a dear family in this congregation, Mr. and Mrs. Steele, how much we are indebted to you for making your home available, one of your properties, to give rest and relaxation to some of our people, to spend time in a very tranquil setting. And we are so thankful to you that you have made that available to us. To the Missionary Council representatives from the Mission Board, And again, it's quite remarkable that two of them are from this congregation. We can only say thank you to you. Your help has been, again, of vital importance as you have contributed to our work in the Mission Board. But let me just conclude by quoting a little verse of Scripture that I feel is of great significance and of much importance. It is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 10. These are striking words, words that perhaps do have a particular application on an occasion like this. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. It is very easy for people to say, well, the former days were better. The past days were the best. We all can say that. And of course we do look back and we thank God for the blessings of former days. But we're not to ask the question, and it's a very clear directive, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? Say not thou. Why do we have this thought? Is it not that today we are living in the present? We cannot allow our minds to be put into the bondage of the past. Why do we say that? We say it because God is still the same. We say it because His Word is still the same. We say it because souls are still going to hell. We say it because God still gives to you and to me the divine call, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I take great encouragement that in recent days there has been an increase in applications to the college with regard to young people coming into the missionary work, coming into the ministerial work. God has a ministry for us yet to do. And I trust, dear men and women, that all of us will be privileged to witness a mighty outpouring of God the Holy Spirit. We pray for revival. We trust that God will send it and that we will respond with thankfulness unto Him. May the Lord bless the work of the Missionary Council and bless every member who so faithfully serves on that council. Thank you so much indeed.
Thank you, Mr. McElveen, and a big thanks to you for Pearl for your labours over the years. Now, in every committee, you always need a secretary. Valerie Shaw was the secretary from 62 to 66 or 67. We haven't just got the first minute book. And then Mrs. Kearns took over. And she did it till 1979, till they left for America. And you can hear the American accent in her voice, can't you? And then our sister, Winnie Lavery, who sends her apologies, she wasn't able to be with us tonight, was secretary from 1979 to 1989. And then when Winnie resigned, our brother John Dummigan from Lurgan took over, and John has kept us all right since that. John has some announcements to make at this stage and a few letters to read out. John.
Thank you very much, George. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Also mentioned in our three very short verses, especially the first one is one of the shortest verses in the Bible, and it is, rejoice evermore. We're praising the Lord for what He's done in the past, but we're looking to Him for the future. We're rejoicing tonight, and we will rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now tonight I have a few emails to read out. I haven't looked at them yet, so I hope there's no big words in it. I'll just skip them. But 40 years ago, I'm sure there wasn't any emails. Because everything wasn't come on so quickly over this past years. Especially in Cars. Remember one time, and we were going to a missionary council meeting. Miss Hines would usually come with me, but this night she was unable to come. It's the late Miss Hines. And I went with myself. And of course the Cars weren't all that great. I had a fond Ronald. And of course I went to Newtownards, ready a bit from Lurgan. Of course, had her tea and all, had the meeting, had her tea. Never we came out, the car wouldn't start. Oh, it was terrible. Well, Newtownards, what was I going to do? So of course, like everything else, we prayed about it. But there was a few people in the missionary council and they came up with a brilliant idea that they would tow me home. Well, that sounds all right. So they got a tow rope about that size. And the car was a BMW. And I tell you, I never went home as quick. I never prayed as much in my life. And that was one time I'll never forget about the missionary council. And we landed at Lurgan. They took the rope off, rubbed the sweat off my brow and said, "Thank you, Lord." I praised him that night for what he did do. There's many other great times too in which, you know, were the great times of fellowship. But the first email I'd like to read out is from Colin, Olive and Ruth Maxwell in Cork. "Dear friends, sorry that we cannot be with you for this, the 40th anniversary of the founding of the Missionary Council. However, we are pleased to be able to record our thankfulness to God for his work and faithfulness. Humanly speaking, the missionaries' work would be much more difficult if not possible. We in Cork have a special reason to rejoice in your faithfulness. Our church months, including the meeting room of the church, was purchased 15 years ago by a special effort on the part of the Missionary Council. This has proved invaluable to the work here. We encourage the Missionary Council to maintain a high standard of faithfulness to the cause of God and missionary work. All the missionaries deeply appreciate your labours. Continually pray that God will bless you in the years ahead. Yours in Christ, Colin, Olive and Ruth Maxwell." And then we have a wee short one here. Letters from Kenya, from Margaret Russell, Gillian Gillespie and Noreen McAfee. "We have been interested to hear of your special anniversary meeting this evening. Rejoice with you all that God has enabled you to do over these past 40 years. As missionaries, we have been the beneficiaries of your labour, as we have been faithfully prayed for you and supported financially. We thank God for what you have meant to us in the Lord's work in Kenya. And we say a sincere word of thanks to all of you who have, over the years, failed the ropes at home. We have been praying for God's help and presence on this special occasion. So we thank God for the Missionary Council and ask him in even a greater way in the years ahead. For we are labourers together with God, Margaret, Gillian and Noreen." This is like a best man at a wedding. And also Dr. Bill Woods wasn't able to come tonight, but we will be having him later on at one of our other events, which I'll tell you about in a moment. The next one is from the Reverend Ian Harris in Kenya as well. "On behalf of all our family here in Kenya, it is my joy to send these few lines to wish the members of the Missionary Council God's blessing on this year's 40th special anniversary meeting. We are grateful for the work and labours of the Missionary Council in helping to support missionaries on the field and to generate interest in our denomination as a whole in the work and ministry of our own missionaries. May the Lord stir our hearts again. May every member and office bearer know God's leading and blessing, not only tonight, but in the days ahead. Yours in Christ, Reverend Ian Harris." Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Then we have one from Noel, Joan and family from Lewis. "Dear brethren, we would like to congratulate the Missionary Council on their 40th anniversary. We thank God for your work and witness over the past 40 years. We trust you will continue to know the blessing of the Lord in the days to come. Hebrews 6 verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Yours in Christ, Noel, Joan,
and all the Jesus family in this. Then we have another one from Chris, Linda, Samantha and Grace Killen. And their brother Chris works in, with the drug people and doing a great work. We would like to congratulate all our members of the Missionary Council on this very special 40th anniversary. This is the Lord's doing and it's marvellous in our eyes. Matthew 21:42. Thank you for the support and encouragement you have given to us. Wishing you God's richest blessing to, for the future. Chris, Linda, Samantha and Grace. And last but not least, we have one from John, Narana, Jonathan and Joel Hanna in Spain. On this special occasion marking the 40th anniversary of the formation of the Missionary Council of our denomination, we as a family and also on behalf of the Church in Alcorcón would like to take the opportunity to wish you all God's richest blessing. We pray the Lord will continue to use you, the Missionary Council, even in a greater way than he already has done to further the spread of the glorious gospel in all the world. We personally owe you a great debt under God for the help and unfailing encouragement you have given us, first during the student years and then throughout the 25 years that we have been in Spain. Be sure that God's people here in Spain are very conscious of their indebtedness to you and the Lord and your faithful giving and prayer support for the work here. In closing, we congratulate you and pray that the vision the Lord gave to the Missionary Council of the Free Presbyterian Church 40 years ago will live on and increase for many generations to come if the Lord tarries. Yours most sincerely in Christ, John, Narana, Jonathan and Joel Hanna. And also would like to put the Boyd family and Joy Gillespie on that as well. And that's all the emails. And I just take this opportunity just to mention a couple of events that will be taking place shortly, or in this year. The first one will be the 40th anniversary dinner. We in the Missionary Council always have plenty of dinners. And we have a great time of fellowship. And this 40th anniversary, we're going to have one as well. And it'll be open to all who would like to come. And of course there will be more details of the price etc. and different other things. It will be in the Truthful Youth and different magazines. And of course your Missionary Council representative will be able to tell you in your church. And we're not too sure when it will be. Probably around about June sometime. But you will be get due notice of that. And then another special occasion will be in the autumn. We will be launching our 40th anniversary booklet, and it will be edited and looked after by Dr. Kearns. And of course we're looking forward to this wee booklet coming out. And Dr. Kearns will have plenty of help from his wife. And as we women around our part of the country always say it, behind every good man is a far better woman. Now that's a woman saying that like that. Not everybody might agree with that, but I'm sure Mrs. Kearns will be able to help Dr. Kearns with this, and we're looking forward to it very much indeed. That will be in autumn in our Lurgan church. And then at the bottom of the church there's a stand, and we have missionary boxes and different items, missionary cards, photographs, so do take time and have a look at them as well. And then George has got something here and he told me to mention this, and it's key rings, and they're only £5 each. And George doesn't want to go home to Kilkeel with any key rings in his car tonight, and he'd like them all sold. So if you would like a key ring, very important to put your car keys on, and do purchase one tonight, and it'll be going to funds tonight as well. I think that's all the announcements and all I can say, and I do praise God for what he's done in the Missionary Council, all his many blessings. We have had blessed times. The Lord is blessed, and it's good to see the work going on throughout the world. And we have a desire in the Missionary Council to see souls saved. That's why we're doing it. We don't want to see anyone going to a lost eternity.
matter who they are, around the whole world, we want to see people, men and women and boys and girls, gloriously saved. And as it says in Romans 10, how can they hear without a preacher? We have a work to do here to send our missionaries out to bring the word of God to those people. And do pray very much for the missionary council. Pray much for the mission board and for the Whitfield College, for all our missionaries, that the Lord would really bless them indeed. And just before I do sit down, I would also like to say, as others said tonight, a wee word about George. You know, everybody says a wee word about George, but he is a great man, you know, right enough. And we've had some great crack in the times past, and some great fun. As he says, there's never any major problems. Everything runs smoothly. And as Mrs. Kern says, he takes everything cool. Just like the Mourne people, they just take things in their stride. It's different from at our part of the country, where everybody's rushing. But the Lord has really blessed him, and he's a real encouragement to every one of us. And the work that he does, I think George's hobby is missionary work. And the Lord has really blessed him and helped him even through his time of sickness. The Lord has undertook for him. We're looking for great times ahead in the missionary council. And we do thank you for coming to our meeting tonight.
Thank you, John. We have only 50 hearings that are commemorative thing, and when they're gone, and we have 50 there tonight. If you like one, take time to get it there. Now, we've come to that stage where we're all going to take part, and that is the offering. And as Dr. Paisley says, ladies, don't reach for your handbags yet until we make the appeal. It has been my concern for some time that even though we need, last year we needed almost £8,000 every week to keep our missionary work going across the world. But even though we have all these commitments, it's been my concern for some time that our missionaries, who are generally on a lower salary than the home workers, no provision has been made for their retirement. The presbytery, in their wisdom, has made provision for our ministers, and rightly so, that all the churches contribute to a retirement fund whereby the ministers and their wives have a home for their years of retirement, provided by all our churches. No provision has been made for our missionaries. And we ask permission of the board and of the presbytery tonight to launch a 40th anniversary fund, whereby when missionaries come to retirement, if we haven't sufficient funds to give them, to buy a home for them to live in, at least we'll be able to give them a living allowance. Now, all things being equal, we should have about 10 years to prepare for this, and it's good to start early. Dr. Paisley says we should aim at getting $100,000 in it, and we need to get that. And we'll have to build this fund up and have it well invested, that we'll have this for to help our missionaries when they come to retirement. I've heard of a missionary couple that came home after serving with an interdenominational mission some years ago, and no provision was made for the retirement, and they had no money, and they had no home. Only the particular church concerned provided them with a small pension and also with a house. But we need to do something for our workers that have laboured at great sacrifice. Missionaries, especially those that have families, their children have to leave home and their friends here. And then if you take the Harrises, for example, when they go again to Kenya, they have to leave their mum and daddy again to go to a boarding school. And it's not easy. And I think we should think seriously and pray seriously about this. And we want to launch that fund tonight, our 40th anniversary retirement fund for our missionaries. Now, I've had two gifts for it, one of £500, and I got another one last week of £200. So we're starting with £700. We have a lot of commitments. We could use £500,000 have we had it for our various works. Well, there's appeals coming in from all our mission fields. They have projects and things that they need money for. But we're glad that our people always rise to the occasion. Our youth council took on the project to help the school in Kenya. And it has been a very, very successful project. And our young people raised almost £5,000, £25,000. We thank you for that. Last year we decided that we'd give a one-off offering. We did this way back in the 70s for another project. But we'd ask all our churches to give a one-off offering to help finish the school in Kenya, and that the council offering for that month came to almost £30,000. But we have this other special need for our missionaries when they come to retire, and we want you to think about it tonight, and we're going to take up the offering now, and we ask you to give generously and liberally, and we're hoping maybe in the future to announce some other ways of raising money for it. We're going to sing together while the offering is being taken up, and we'll remain seated. Hymn number 142. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moons shall wax and wane no more. Sing the last verse 6. Council here with us, we would like to have you in this area of the church after the service. We want a picture. Stanley Cunningham from Antrim is here, and he's taking photographs all night, and there's also a video available of this service if you'd like to order one afterwards. And could I say to the ministers and their wives who are here, there's a cup of tea for you. The ministers, you know, need a cup of tea before they go home. And a cup of tea for you afterwards that the ladies have provided. The young people, you see, and some of the rest of us would rather go for some chips, so we're heading out. There's a Kentucky Fried Chicken place just down the road here afterwards. Could I say a word of thanks to the church here for putting their facilities, making them available for us tonight? We thank Mr. Greer, the session committee, for making the church available. When Dr. Paisley couldn't come to preach for us, my mind immediately went to Mr. Douglas. I was reading through, doing some research for Mr. Cairns for the booklet that he's hoping to have ready for October, and reading through the old minutes of presbytery to see if we glean out anything about the Missionary Council and its origins. And I noticed that Mr. Douglas's name came up continually. So he was there from the beginning. He knows about it. But as well as that, we're delighted that he's here. His ministry over the years has been a personal blessing to me, and I know to our whole denomination. Mr. Douglas, we're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you.
Let us all turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. It's a real joy for me to be here, to have a part in the service, to look back over these 40 years. I can remember those meetings in presbytery when, in the special commission which was appointed, I did have a little part to play in the discussions way back in those early days. But like Mrs. Kearns, I can say I think I forget about most of the events that took place back then. But it's good to be here tonight to raise our Ebenezer in thanksgiving to the Lord, because it is due to the Lord's hand with us that we can all be here tonight, all of us, and recognize what He has been to us, His guidance, His presence, how the Lord has given enablement through all this time. We want to not only look back, but also to trust Him for all that is to come. Maybe also I should mention, thinking of some of the announcements that have been made, the opening of our new church building in Lisburn. We are relocating in the will of the Lord, and on the first Saturday afternoon of May, 3:30, we will be opening the new church building there. Be very welcome for the service. Mr. Paisley will be bringing the Word of God, and then after that, we will be continuing in a gospel campaign. So if you don't manage to come on the Saturday, when maybe many will come, perhaps you can come some of the nights through our gospel campaign, visit us in Lisburn. But enough of that. Let us turn to this chapter, John 15, looking at verse 1. The Lord Jesus speaking to His disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I'd like you to put a marker in that chapter, and then turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 15. And just a few words here from Ezekiel, this 15th chapter. And I would like you also to put a marker in this place. Ezekiel 15. There are some of God's people who never get to read from Ezekiel. So our service will be useful in relation to people in that category, because tonight we're going to look at some of the verses here. Ezekiel 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? Shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Will men take a pin off it to hang any vessel thereon? Behold, it is cast into the fire for fuel. The fire devoureth both the ends of it, and in the midst of it is burned. Is it meat for any work? Behold, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. How much less shall it be meet yet for any work, when the fire hath devoured it, and it is burned? Let us mark these places, maybe turning to John chapter 15 as the starting point. We will ask help from heaven at this juncture in our meeting. Let us all pray, and maybe some to whom I speak are feeling weary and tired. You've been occupied with many, many things through the day. Our energies quickly run out, so our concentration fails. But it is important, especially in this night, that we have a word to go home with, a word which will comfort us, a word we trust which will instruct us, and a word which will inspire us, enabling us to say, Thank you, Lord, for all that thou hast done for us. Then, as an individual, you'll say, Thank you, Lord, for all that you've been to me. Let us ask the Lord to speak tonight, to speak powerfully, to speak in such a way that some will have to say it was on that night. I never will forget it, the night in Ballymena, the night of our 40th anniversary, when many, many things were recalled with joy and thanksgiving. It was on that night God spoke to me and challenged me. That would make this a night to be noted and remembered. O Lord, we would seek now, by help from heaven, to put ourselves in thy hands. We thank thee for tonight. We thank thee for all the years that have in this little period of time come up for consideration, for events that are recognized, and for joys that are celebrated. We thank thee for answers to prayer, for encouragements from heaven, and we praise thee for those who have served as leaders and members of the Missionary Council in those years now past. And we thank thee for the office bearers presently, and for members too, many of whom are with us tonight. We pray that thy blessing will be mightily upon them. We thank thee for our brother George, and we ask that he too will be greatly encouraged in the days that lie ahead. We pray that with him all who share in the work so devotedly that they may know the unction of God. Be with us now, Lord, and help us in this little time. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15 and Ezekiel chapter 15 are two great chapters in the Bible. I want you to keep them together, for one complements the other. And that each chapter has the same number may be a means of helping us to locate the places in the Bible, for it's convenient for us to say John 15 and then Ezekiel 15. Our Lord often uses the emblem of the vine in the Bible, in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, to depict his people. And every time we pray, and we pray about the work, we're likely to say, Lord, bless this corner of thy vineyard. And when we do so, we remind ourselves again that the church is like the vine. Here in John 15 and verse 5, the Lord Jesus is saying, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Familiar as the words are, I want to offer them tonight to the leaders of our council, to all the members too, and to the friends who have gathered. Although many here have sought to memorize part of this chapter from their earliest days, yet there is a word of exhortation for us tonight with this 40th year behind us. But our Lord identifies himself with the church here, and he shows that the church is just like branches in the vine, so that its fruitfulness comes from him. Indeed, we can say, in reference to the branches, the life of the branches, and the grace that God gives to the branches in the church are all from him, all from the person of Christ. And here our Lord draws a very familiar lesson. There are some who have taken occasion when they reach a passage like this in the Bible to remark on how observant our Savior has been. And they say, look at how he has drawn these lessons from nature. For now he speaks to us of the wheat and of the tares, and maybe again of the fig tree, and here of the vine. But we do not look aright at the gospel if we merely think of the observation of Christ, because after all, he is the omniscient God, and he sees all things. But there's something far more important for us to note than this. The Lord Jesus Christ created the vine. In the first place, he made it the way it is. He gave to the vine its character, and any lesson that we can learn from the vine, the Lord intended it to be that way. We do not believe in the evolutionary theory, and thus there is nothing on the earth by mere chance or accident. And when it comes to the plants that are mentioned in the Bible, we can say, oh, they're there by design, and the Lord certainly means us to learn from the vine. And the question is asked in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 15. If I direct you to the second verse in the chapter we read, what is the vine? So the Lord does require us to think about the vine and to consider the lessons that we might learn from it. We'd have to say it's not an elegant plant. It's a weak, straggling plant. And yet, the Lord, in having us see how much care and attention the vine really needs, would have us think about his work in that respect. If you look over at Matthew chapter 21, one of the parables the Lord told about the vineyard brings before us the point about the vine needing so much care and so much attention. It's like the work of the Lord. In Matthew 21, verse 33, the Lord Jesus is saying, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which had planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. The vineyard as such must be hedged about on all sides. The vineyard must be under constant vigil, for there is a tower in the midst of it. And surely it's clear from this that the vine cannot abide in itself. And the Church of Christ cannot go on under its own steam. In no way. If we take a local church, think of the prayer meeting, think of the Bible class, think of the regular preaching meetings, think of the young people's work. The work of God cannot survive left to itself. And when we consider the missionary front and the activity of the missionary council, we are not to imagine with these 40 years behind us that now we can rest on our laurels and think in some way that this part of the work can continue in itself. Because in John 15, our Lord Jesus Christ is bringing to us the point that in verse 4, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's only as we view the people of God and their union with Christ that we can see the work then beginning to take up and flourish and bear fruit. But if we lose out in the sense of fellowship with the Lord, then instead of fruit bearing, there'll be fruitlessness. Take another illustration of the vineyard. It's in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 24. And near to the end of Proverbs 24, we come across words like these. I'm reading verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw, and here the word saw signifies to see by revelation, as if the Lord suddenly enlightened the viewer's mind. To use a modern expression, the penny has dropped. As he looks upon the scene opening up before him, he saw with understanding. He saw with contemplation. He saw in such a way that it hit him in his heart. And so he considered it well. He looked upon it and received instruction. Here is a scene of neglect. The vineyard cannot continue to survive if the wall is broken down, and if through neglect all the thorns and the nettles have covered the face thereof. As I have said, when you think about it, the vine is a weak, straggling plant. It cannot survive without attention. It needs the care of the husbandman. And that care means the wall must be secure round about it. There has to be a tower there to watch, lest through any manner of means damage is done in the vineyard. That great beast from the forest may come in, as the psalmist shows. And then in the Song of Solomon, the foxes, even the little foxes, can spoil the vine. What are the little foxes? Why, just like little pups, skipping about in a playful manner, full of fun. You could say there's no harm in a group of little pups playing around. But the Lord says, I, the little foxes, spoil the vine. Such is the weakness of this plant. Such is the amount of care it requires. Such is the protection that must be given to it. It will not survive There will be no fruit to celebrate in the day of vintage unless these precautions are taken. And the Lord is showing us in the Scriptures, this is like the Church of Christ. This is like the work of God. It needs to be nurtured. There must be care given to it. And the wall of protection must be around about it continually. This scene in Proverbs 24 is most affecting because the wall has been broken down, not just by neglect, but in a willful manner. The stone wall has been broken down. And then, through neglect, it's grown all over with thorns and nettles, and the vine cannot bring forth fruit in those conditions. If you think of the sturdy oak, why the oak will stand the test of the storm. And as for its growth, the oak tree can laugh at the thorns and the briars. For this mighty giant is not troubled by such things. But it's a different thing altogether with the vine. When the briar grows and the nettles come, there is no fruit there to perfection. And the vineyard is no more. Well, the Church of Christ needs attention. And there must be surveillance of the work. And when it comes to the life of the individual believer, given the lessons we're taught in John 15 about abiding, that word abide takes care of all that I have been saying. Abiding in Christ means that we preserve the fellowship that we have with Christ. There's nothing there to disrupt the harmony that we have with the Lord or take us away from Him. Thus, when we ask the question, what is the vine? We have to consider its weakness and how it will not survive without the care of the Lord. And the work of the Lord is like that. If you turn your attention to John 15 here and look at this second verse of the chapter, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. When the Lord created the vine and made it the way it is, so that we could learn all the lessons that the Scripture would have us learn, it is clear that the Lord had a purpose in all of this. The vine grows according to the design. The Lord could have made the vine like the oak tree, not to be troubled by the storm, not to show any damage due to the briar and the nettles. The Lord could have made the vine like the oak tree. But He chose by design to make the vine the way it is, so that we can see, look, that beautiful picture of the Church of Christ reminds us of our weakness, of the need to be under the care of the Lord all the time, to retain fellowship with Him. And thus the Scripture is saying here, if the branch, because it can't bear fruit of itself, if the branch does not abide in the vine, all will come to nothing. And the great question tonight is, are you learning to abide in Christ? The union is there by right through the work, the finished work of the Lord on the tree. But there's also the side, the practical side, where we have to maintain the fellowship with the Lord. And if we have learned any lesson at all from these Scripture illustrations about the vine, then we surely see the need for vigilance in the work of God. We have to guard against coldness of heart. The vine won't flourish in the cold atmosphere. It does not do well if continually it's under the cloud. But the vine requires the sunshine. Maybe this is what is intended in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. We can look at those words, he taketh away, from another aspect. Because some of the times in the New Testament, when the word translated taketh away is viewed, It can mean to lift up. For example, the mighty angel in the book of Revelation who lifts up his hand to heaven, it's the same word as is used here. Or on the occasion of that stunning miracle performed by the Lord when he said to the paralyzed man, "Take up thy bed and walk." That's the word that's used here. Or when those people who hated the Lord, filled with anger, bent down to lift up stones that they might do him to death. That's the word that's used here. There may then be this thought in verse 2. If the vine is not bringing forth fruit, maybe then it can be lifted up. Some here have been to Israel. And if you've gone through the mountainous domain in the land of promise, you can't have failed to notice how those hillsides are put to the best use. There, terrace after terrace happens to provide the ideal place for the growth of the vine. And so it's lifted up from that lowly place in the ground to a higher level. And by being lifted onto the next level of the terrace above, it's able to catch the rays of the sunshine and bear fruit abundantly. What a picture of the believer. If the vine here, this branch, is not bearing fruit, he will lift it up to a higher plane so that it can catch the sunshine. How necessary it is for the Christian to catch the sunshine of heaven, for without the healing rays of heaven's sunshine, there'll be no fruit to perfection. I think it's clear also in this lesson from the growth of the vine that its branches must be lifted up. Otherwise, this straggling plant has a tendency to fall to the ground. And if the branches, instead of being lifted up, lie all along the ground, you know it's just a matter of time before the grass grows up and the nettles appear and the briar comes as well. And with the growth of the grass and the briars and the nettle, why, the vine soon is swallowed up by them. It's tied down to earth and it bears no fruit to speak of. Let me take this lesson and apply it to the child of God. We have to warn the Christian that unless he is lifted from that earthly plane, lifted onto a higher level of communion with God, the tendency will be, just like the vine, to fall toward the ground, to gravitate toward the earth. If ever you say of a backslider, "How come he lost out with God? How come he stayed away from the place of fellowship and the hour of prayer?" He has just been gravitating toward the world. And you need the intervention of the Lord to lift your life onto that higher plane where you can catch the sunshine of heaven. If we look at Ezekiel again, there's another question. And this question is just as vital and important as the first question. The first question we asked about the vine was in verse 2. What is the vine? And we tried to answer that question by speaking about its weakness, by speaking about its failure to survive, and how it needs surveillance. The tower must go up to keep a watch in every area of the vineyard, and the wall must be kept in good order, for if that wall ever gets broken down, and the wall, you know, speaks of separation, separates between the vineyard and the world. And that picture we had in Proverbs, it just seemed if the field was like the world, then when the wall was broken down, the vineyard looked like the field, and there was no difference. So we answered the question, what is the vine? We saw it was a weak, straggling plant. It couldn't do, it couldn't survive without the care of the husbandman. No branch there can bear fruit of itself. And now we have the question in verse 3, shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? And further, in verse 5, behold, when it was whole, It was meet for no work, how much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it and it is burned. To put the question simply here, what use is it? The Lord made the vine, don't forget that. If we just think of the Lord passing by, noting things as if by accident, I feel we miss out on the major truth that the Lord created the vine. He designed it. He made it the way it is. All to the purpose that we would learn from it. We would take a question like this and say, well, shall the wood be taken thereof to do any work? The point is this. The vine is made only for one purpose. It's put here in the world by the design of God, only for one purpose, that it might bear fruit. But if you, by any manner of means, can look at the vine in conditions where it's not bringing forth fruit, then the question here in Ezekiel becomes very, very relevant. Well, what use is it then if it doesn't bear fruit? Because, as the question shows, and this is a most intriguing point in verse 3, shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Will men, for example, will men take a pin of it to hang any vessel at all? I mentioned Israel a moment ago. Quite a number here have been to the land of promise. And it's maybe the first thing with a friend who's in Israel, contemplating that, well, before long we'll be on the way home again. Take a souvenir of the land of promise. So many people will buy these little wooden carvings. Camel carved out of wood that came from a tree in the land of Israel. Maybe it's the figure of Moses. All of these carvings are in olive wood from Israel. I can look over this congregation and say readily to anybody who has been in Israel, considering all the souvenirs that have been brought home, nobody ever, in spite of the amount of grapes that are produced in Israel, nobody has ever brought a souvenir, wood carving, where you can say that's carved out of the vine. For Ezekiel 15:2 puts it so plainly, you can't even make a pin out of it. It won't even do for a coat hook. You couldn't make a stake and drive that stake into the wall and say, well, at least that's the use we can put the vine to. We can drive it as a peg into the wall and hang a vessel on it or hang our clothing on it. It's of some use after all. No, no. In fact, when you come to the end in verse 5 there, the end of the little sequence, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. The vine at its best, the argument is, this is a powerful thing. At its best, when it was whole, it was meat for no work. And how much less shall it be meet yet for any work when the fire hath devoured it? And the lesson is, God puts his people here in this earth for a purpose. And then the awful truth dawns on you. If you don't live in accordance with that purpose, and it requires blunt preaching here, we have to say of the Christian, He's of no use on this earth unless he's living for God, unless he's bringing forth fruit for Jesus Christ. Because this is the whole purpose of your existence. This is the reason why the Lord struggled to prevail for you and suffered there on the tree, that he might bring you into life and into Christ. And the whole purpose of you being converted and of having union with Christ is that you might bear fruit for him. But if we take that away and say, oh, in this case, the old branch has fallen to the earth, and the things of the earth have grown up all around it and tied it down, and there's no fruit now, the question must be raised, well then, what use is it? Because it hasn't met with the purpose of its existence. And it is devastating to the Christian when he makes this discovery. If I'm not living for the Lord, if I'm not honoring him, if I'm not bringing glory to the Savior, if I'm not bearing fruit, I'm of no use in this life. But then that's only half of it. Because when you look at verse 5, it tells us that that piece of the vine that's no use is really then put to the flame. Can't be used in furniture making. Can't even be used for the humble peg in the wall of all things. That really knocks me over. Because at least if it could be used as a peg in the wall, well, that wouldn't be very elevating, very marvelous, but it would be something. It won't even do for that. Nothing but the fire. Toss it to the flames. There's nothing else. It's of no use. You know the verse that comes to my mind? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And to just take a little piece out of that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through to 15. You know that bit about the fire shall try every man's work. For the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And all the work that's like wood, hay, and stubble, when put to the flame, will be burned up. Isn't it striking that in John 15, when the Lord talked about the vine, and then at one turn commented on its uselessness if there was no fruit, and in Ezekiel 15, when the same Lord talks to the prophet about the vine, isn't it a striking thing that both chapters, chapter 15 in John, chapter 15 in Ezekiel, isn't it a striking thing that both places should bring home to your heart the contemplation that if this vine is not producing fruit, it's for the fire. That's not a coincidence. And if the Lord is saying anything to you and me tonight, it's this. It's just the mercy of God that you're saved. And when the Lord entered into your life and saved you, He found you as one who could be looked at as fit fuel for hell. Sometimes, when I hear of serious differences in a church, when I learn with grief that matters have to be looked into and some child of God is behaving in the most awkward and distressing fashion, I stand back and I say to myself, have we forgotten that we're fit fuel for hell and might have been in the fire? Only the Lord, having mercy on us, has lifted us up and lifted us out of all that and lifted us onto this higher plane in Christ that we might live to the glory of His name and bring forth fruit unto Him. Otherwise, as the Lord shows, it's just for the fire. How does this service find you tonight? Are you living in communion with Christ? Is there a tower in your life? Is the wall there in place? Is there a separation between you and the world? Is the vine, in your case, fulfilling the purpose of its design? Is there fruit? We have to ask the Lord, looking back over these years, Lord, make us fruitful. Make us to be like the fruitful branch of the vine. And don't let us, for whatever reason, be dragged down to that lower level. For we can't survive. The free church won't survive unless it continues to remain in fellowship with God. And the missionary council can't survive unless also, as the lesson shows, we retain that closeness of fellowship with the Lord. How shall we celebrate these 40 years? Well, just as we have done tonight, by saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for raising up all the friends who have been so loyal and devoted in working for God in this way. Is there another way in which we can celebrate these 40 years? Yes, I think there is. I have been talking to you about the purpose for which the Lord created you, and the purpose for which the Lord saved you. Every life has a purpose. And maybe God is speaking to you about putting your life on the altar and giving yourself to Him. Wouldn't it be something if tonight one or two or three or four or more for that matter would say, tonight I believe God has spoken to me about putting my life at God's disposal, yielding my all to Christ. Whom shall I send, the Lord says. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. How will it be at the end? Will you look back over the years of a lifetime well spent in the service of Christ? Will you have to mourn, weep and lament? With the greatest distress, saying, I had those precious years and I lost them all. I wasted my life. I didn't live for Christ. Only one life, one short life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. May the Lord speak to our hearts tonight for His name's sake. Amen.
I want to thank Mr. Douglas for bringing the word of the Lord to us. May His word abide in us. The choir are going to sing to us again. thank the choir again for coming at such short notice to sing for us, and to all who took part. We're glad that the Reverend John Armstrong is with us. The first meeting of the council was held in Antrim, and he's now the minister, and I'm going to ask him to come, close in prayer and pronounce the benediction. And I should say, none of the men will be going to the door. They are as late. Missionary Council members, if you can come here as soon as possible, and we'll not keep you late. Mr. Armstrong.
Let us bow together in prayer, please. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, for the joy and privilege of being here this evening. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thy presence indeed hath made the feast. We bless Thee, O God, for the fact that we have been able to look back tonight at the beginning and the commencement of the Missionary Council. We thank Thee for the vision that Thou didst give to Thy servants in those early days. And we thank Thee, O God, that those beginnings which were small, the vine under God hath grown, and the vine hath increased, and the branches from that vine hath gone over the world and stretched into many different parts of the world. And Lord, we bless Thee for how Thou hast used the Missionary Council in days gone past. We thank Thee for Thy faithfulness. We thank Thee for the guidance that Thou didst give to Thy servants. And we thank Thee, O God, for each and every individual who has gone forth to carry the good news of the gospel and hath been supported in whatever way by the work of the Missionary Council. We thank Thee, O God, for those churches tonight that have been established as a result of the support and help given by the Council. And, O God, we rejoice this night in all that the Lord hath done. And, Lord, we bless Thee. And we raise our Ebenezers to Thee, and we thank Thee. And, Lord, we rejoice that as we look back this evening, that we can look forward with confidence and with assurance. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt visit this vine in days to come, in greater blessings still, and in great power, and grant that much fruit might be brought forth to the glory of Thy great and Thy holy name. O God, bless this arm of the church, we beseech of Thee. Remember the work and the witness of our denomination in general in days to come. We ask, O God, that Thy hand of grace and blessing will be upon her. We pray that the Lord Himself will give the increase and bless in every corner of the globe where the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church extends. And O God, we pray that the holy name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be exalted. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for all that Thou hast done. We trust Thee for all that is to come. And we pray that the blessing of God will rest upon the missionary council and the missionary enterprise of our church in days to come. Blessings abound where'er He reigns. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. Grant that as we exalt Christ in these days, that these words will be our experience and the truth that we discover. And, O God, we ask that Thy hand of grace and blessing will continue in days to come. Spread now Thy covering wings around us.
And grant, O God, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost may rest and remain and abide with the people of God, both this night and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.